James has been at the station for 3 years now, doing a lot of stuff on the weekends, doing some weekend hosting, doing play-by-play. James is from Kansas, and James, you're a relatively new P1, and you're learning about the station in real time, and I think it's really cool because the station has been around for 32 years now, and, you know, I'll go to big station events like Summer Bash, Ticket Stock, whatever, and it's really cool meeting P1s that I haven't seen before, and some of them have been around since day one, and they'll say they're a day one P1, but then I'll also meet people that have moved to town within the past few years, and they say, you know, I turned the ticket on one afternoon, one morning, whatever, and fell in love with it. So we're at a point now where we have multiple generations of P1s where it's all kind of lumped together, and it's cool that you're in this, in the new phase of this, and you're discovering it. So I think it'd be cool to have a segment where, you know, you've asked us about some drops, and we had Rent Free yesterday, and you're learning about these things. So I kind of want to have some time with James here for James to ask us questions, and we can answer to the best of our ability about ticket stuff.
Yeah, what I have found is there is a very steep learning curve with the history at this station, all the different personalities, mm-hmm. and I remember the first time I was on, the first drop that I ever heard.
Right.
It basically finished my sentence for me, and I thought, like, is this microphone reading my mind? Like, who is that guy?
Well, so there goes Ham.
Like, explain to me, explain like I'm five, how mm-hmm. the drops work. Like, how do you guys, I guess, number one, hit them at the exact, like, perfect moment, and then number two, know what to find so quickly and find the right clip that actually fits what the host is saying?
So, and Ham is an expert at this now. Everybody that does it, and it's a lot of muscle memory because you're up here for 7 hours a day. You're working with the same shows every day. And, like, when I did it, because I ran the board from 2014 until 2022. So I ran, yeah. And Ham, there goes Ham again, finishing my own sentences. So you're working with, you know, I worked with Bad Radio and the Hardline, and I was really just trying to make the host laugh and the producer laugh and maybe myself laugh. And you do it enough and you've got 12 different pages in your array. You can put the stuff wherever you want. And I think, like, a good comparison is like on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what apps, you know where Twitter is, you know where your phone button is, you know where your texting is, because you see it all the time. When you're sitting in front of that screen, you know where, you know, your favorite norm drops are going to be, whatever, and you organize it however you want. Yeah, it's right there. It definitely takes time. It takes a skill, which our board ops have, and it's something that evolves over time.
I would concur, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it's just remembering where you place stuff to, because you might have a page just for a show, or mm-hmm. you might use, like, your entire array for every show.
Okay, so, like, how many do you have right in front of you right now?
I'm looking at 100. I have 1,200 at the ready.
Mm-hmm. 1,200?
Yes.
And that's just on the page. Like, there's more in the system. So if we're doing a segment and we're talking about something that happened 10 years ago, it's like, oh, let's find this e-break from Norm or whatever. Let's find Norm's 100th e-break that happened a few years ago. Then you could search it and then put it on one of the pages and play it. So it might take a little bit more time, but if you know what it's labeled, you can find it pretty quickly.
That's amazing. And then mm-hmm. is the muscle memory, like, the part that blew my mind is it was the first time I was basically up here, and it's like whoever was back there knew exactly how I was going to finish that sentence. Like, it is truly an art form.
Yeah, it's a art form.
Just anticipating where the conversation's going and kind of knowing. If you know the person really well, you could kind of interpret how they're going to finish their sentences and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you're a pro. You're a pro. That's it. Full stop. That's a pro. Okay. Yeah. The other thing that I love about the ticket is it's very much, like, personality driven, mm-hmm. right? The P1s really get to know you guys on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
So, in terms of your colleagues, if you could only pick one guy, like you need one guy in a moment,
yeah,
and it's could be to bail you out or like to help you move or lend you money, whatever. Who's that one dude?
Man, it, like in a pinch, I need to make a late phone call to. I feel like I could trust. Yeah, it'd probably be Corby. Corby would be the one. I feel like I could trust pretty much everybody. Not pretty much. I could trust everybody, but yeah. I think Corby could pull some strings the most because he feels the most connected. Like we could just.
He'd jump probably on be the golfing with the judge on your case the next day.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could make things work.
Yeah, so tell me why. So he's connected?
The Corby connections. It just feels like he always has his way of finding his way to, you know, a suite or something, or just be like, oh yeah, go to.
He's one of those guys that just knows how to be friends with everybody.
Yeah. Or if he's if he's going to a Foo Fighter show, like you know, he's probably going to end up backstage with Dave Grohl. Like
so
that's going to happen.
Like, dude, I'm so jealous of people like that. That's amazing. Okay. Which of your coworkers would be most likely to win Survivor, and why?
Survivor.
Gamesmanship, athleticism.
Honestly, Survivor, I'm not sure because I've watched Big Brother quite a bit.
Okay,
in the past.
We can do
like,
Big Brother. That was my go-to back in the day.
I think Gordo would be incredible at Big Brother. Like, I think he could win it because he's not going to be a physical threat, but I think his social game and the way he could read people and. If he needed to manipulate somebody, I think he would be incredible, and he'd get people to like him. Like, I think he would get all the votes in Big Brother. Like, I think Gordo would be
awesome.
You make
him sound like a sociopath. He's so good at manipulating people.
If he needed to, he'd get people to like him.
He's not the star on a Dateline NBC.
I think
he's just playing a game.
Yeah, he would be very good at this show.
Okay. Okay. All right, if somebody won a tour of the ticket...
Mm-hmm.
Who is the first person you would introduce them to? And then what would
Lupe
like your line be? Your this is the ticket and we do this, this, and this. What is your elevator pitch, if you will?
We do get tours up here every now and then. Mm-hmm. Like some people will come up and they always want to see where the drops are. So like they'll walk into the studio, they'll say, wow, this is not what I expected, and they'll see our four little TVs up on the wall.
Yeah, there was actually a tour.
All the junk on the table
over
here.
There was a tour like a couple of weeks ago when I was filling in. Mm-hmm. Four or five people walked in here.
Very underwhelming up here. But no, they always
were very excited.
They want to go in there. They want to see Ham's drop machine, and he'll show them, and it'll be kind of like your question of like how it works, and I'll be like, oh, yeah.
This and I think is that a is, microphone.
I do think that is the most intriguing part of the station is the whole drop aspect of it and how it works. Like when I ran the board, that was the question I got. Every event was, how do you do drops?
And it astonishes people because they think they're like on a delay.
Yeah.
They don't know we're doing all this live.
Yeah, I've had people accusing me of like, I know how you do this. It's all delay. Like you just put these in
there.
It's
a podcast.
And I'm like, oh, you got me, bro.
How's your
you
podcast
figured me out.
Going?
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Okay. All right. So when I think of this next question, I think of like Dick Vitale,
okay.
Right? Because he is a personality when the lights are on and the mics are hot. But behind the scenes, he's a totally different person.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that's a good or bad thing, but I think you guys are super authentic here at the ticket. So who is maybe like surprisingly the biggest character behind the scenes?
Man, I think you kind of nailed it when you were leading up to it, that what you hear on the air is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what makes the station, one of the things that makes it so unique is just like how either relatable or when you're driving around listening, you feel like you're part of the conversation and you're not listening to some network show where it's somebody just, you know, some East Coast blowhard talking about, you know, is LeBron James going to go back to Cleveland or whatever and have some hot take. And you can just, like, listeners are smart. They can see through BS. And none of us up here are perfect. Like, we do the e-break every week. We highlight our best mess-ups, which is some of, like, the best parts of the station is when we're messing up. So I think it's
deprecating humor is the best humor.
Yeah. And you've met, I think you've met everybody up here by now, or close to everybody, and
pretty close. Yeah,
I think we're all pretty similar off the air as we are on the air.
I think the one notable difference would be, I think George is more laid back off air than he is, because he plays kind of the straight man on the Musers. But George off the air will just talk about and say whatever.
Yeah.
And I find that really, that's when he becomes Afternoon Jub or Out of Town Georgie. And it's really funny because he does a great job of playing the straight man to Gordon and Junior. But then off the air, I've heard George say some of the craziest things.
Yeah, he's wheels off.
Okay, I'll ask a question. This is more for Justin, maybe for all of us. And you can answer it too if you think you know. Who do you think cusses the most at the station? Because we can't cuss on the air.
Right.
Corby.
Yeah, probably.
By
Corby.
Far.
He is the son of a bitch.
Like listening to him just down line when they're getting ready for a remote, I always joke because I'm like, we should just tell him he's on air. Because he'll curse. He has no idea, but he's cursing up a storm, assuming that he's not pulled up.
He kind of has one of those like personalities where even though he's not actually cursing on the air, it feels like he is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm really surprised I haven't accidentally slipped up on the air.
Okay.
Like, I've never said, like, I've gotten comfortable and I've gotten close, but I've never dropped an F-bomb or an S-bomb or any of those.
Okay,
yet.
Has it? Is that like a rite of passage? Is that?
Maybe it is. I still haven't. We've had the show for 3 years.
How many
and
of
I
the on-air regulars
said an F-word?
Have dropped?
Everybody.
An
Everybody has.
Okay.
A big stupid mother.
Yeah, that was Norm.
Okay.
He was introducing some Cowboys lineman.
That was
okay.
That's
yeah,
edited.
He was introducing like Flozo Adams or something, wasn't he?
We'll have to take you in the control room and show you the
on the hotline
old,
now.
The old edited folder of Norm drops.
All right,
but that was,
last one.
Yeah,
biggest,
one more.
Biggest who has pulled and what was it? The biggest prank during your time at the Ticket?
Oh gosh,
because I've heard some epic prank stories.
Yeah, we don't do as many as we used to. I feel like we should bring them back. Off the top of my head,
The Corby Dirk one's great.
Yeah, okay,
shingles.
There we go. And that was, so this happened, it was near the end of Dirk's run, so the late teens.
Probably about a decade ago.
Yeah, we'll say 10 years ago. The Hardline had Dirk on for something, and you know, Dirk's awesome.
He was promoting a movie he was doing.
Yeah, that's
right. Like a documentary
about
his life.
And Corby, just as a throwaway line at the end, said, oh yeah, it's a quick movie, it's not like Shawshank, or Schindler's List or anything. We go to break, and it was like nothing. And then our buddy Brian Damaris, who's also friends with Dirk, texted Corby. He's like, my gosh, Dirk can't believe you said Schindler's List to him. And Dirk didn't care.
As a German.
Whatever. Yeah, and he's saying Dirk's all pissed off. And he let Corby hang for at least a week.
Dirk, like, DM'd Corby and said, because Corby was invited to the screening of his movie. And so Dirk DM'd Corby and said, I don't want you to come anymore.
Yes.
We're not
Dirk
friends anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dirk was
oh,
in
yes.
on it. Yeah.
Epic.
And so Corby thought that he had offended Dirk and Dirk hated him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It was awesome.
And
dude,
he was so
great.
Stressed about it that
oh,
he got
yeah.
shingles.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so that was great.
That would live rent-free in my mind for eternity.
That's good. Yes. Look at us. We're all
That's
learning
amazing.
New things about the
one
tickets.
Of the, real quick, one of the other stories you guys have told me is when somebody, I think it was Norm, he was interviewing Peter King, and somebody had gone on his Wikipedia page and added Boat Race as his middle
Boat
name.
Swain. Yeah, and that wasn't a prank. That was just Norm getting fooled by Wikipedia. Like somebody, I don't know.
Oh,
why
I thought it was
just,
one of you guys.
No,
that,
I don't.
Updated
I don't think
the Wikipedia
it was.
Page.
I think it was just on there, and he just read it on the air. But that was great.